We're walking through the book of Proverbs and looking at different themes as they arise there. And we're going back to the early part of Proverbs and really focusing just on two verses. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And our theme this morning is just trust. Trust in the Lord. Those words from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 say, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you today, and we would just ask, Lord, that you would remind each one of us to put our trust in you. There's a lot of things going on in the world today, a lot of things that we might mistakenly put our trust in. We ask, Lord, that you would help each one of us to catch ourselves when we start to lean too heavy on other things. And help us, Lord, to put our trust back in you. Speak to us this morning. Help us to be hearers of your word and then doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So when Solomon writes, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." This word trust is a word that means to lie down face down, almost helpless, as though there is nothing else you can do but to put your trust in this God that we serve. Webster's Dictionary defines trust as an assured reliance on the character, strength, and truth of someone or something. Well, there's all kinds of things that we could put our trust in, but who has the character and the strength and the truth that God has? I can put my trust, when you come in here, you just put your trust in those pews, that they were going to hold you up. Because you just sat down. You didn't sit down carefully and wonder if it was going to support you. You've had past experience. You know the pews can support you. And you came in and you sat down. You put your trust in that. And that's because you know it has the strength and the character to support you. Well, that's what Solomon is trying to tell us, that we need to put our full trust in God, because He has the character, the strength, and the truth that can support us. Now, biblically, when it talks about the heart, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." And when it talks about the heart, that's not the way we use the heart in our American culture. We think of the physical heart that pumps blood through our system, and that is incredibly important. Without the physical heart, we just don't live. But the biblical term heart refers to a whole lot more than just that beating presence that keeps our physical lives going. The heart is the center of all of our life. It refers to the physical life, the mental, the emotional, the volitional, or the power to make choices, and to our spiritual life. The Hebrew understanding of the heart stands for the person as a whole. And even Proverbs makes this clear. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of your whole life." Proverbs 27, verse 19 says, "As water reflects the face of a man, so a man's heart reflects, the man." So our heart, the biblical heart that he's talking about, reflects our whole being. The choices we make, the things that we learn, the feelings that we experience. And so Solomon is saying, trust in the Lord with everything you are and everything you have. Proverbs reminds us that even with the heart, we think and we take in knowledge. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 2 says, "Turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding." Or Proverbs 23, 12, "Apply your heart to instruction, to teaching, and your ears to words of knowledge. But the heart also not only takes in information, the heart also makes choices, and it determines our behavior. For Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands," where? In my heart. Keep my commands in my heart. And then Proverbs 21:2 says, "All of a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart." So it's what we think, and it's the choices that we make. The heart is involved in all of that, and the heart is also involved in the feelings that you and I have. And we are to trust the Lord with even all of our feelings. Proverbs 12:25 says, "An anxious heart weighs a person down, but a kind word can cheer them up." Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." You know, you've hoped for something and hoped for something and hoped for something, and the longer you wait for that to come, you can kind of get depressed and sick, because hope just never seems to get there, what you've been hoping for. It says, "But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." It brings new life in. Proverbs 15:13, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but a heartache crushes the spirit." So God desires that you and I trust in Him with our whole being, with the way that we think, with the way that we make choices and we behave, and the way that we express our emotions. To trust God with all of our heart is to bring our whole lives into conformity with Him. Now, we need to trust God in the good times in life. It is then that you and I, like the Israelites in the Old Testament, it was in the good times that they forsook God and started chasing after all the other things in life, the circumstances in life that were so good. And they just looked at all the good things that were happening in their life, and they just trusted in those things instead of really trusting in God. So be careful that when you're going through the good times in life, that you don't start putting your trust in the good times and the circumstances that the good times bring you. Keep your trust in the Lord. But we also need to trust God in the tough times, in the rough times. It is then that we tend to doubt God's love and God's mercy and God's care for us. It is then that we doubt God's plan for our lives. But it's often in these times that we really learn that we can trust God. When we continue to trust Him through the dark times in life, and we come out the other side, that's when we look back and we say, "Man, I really can trust God." I worked a great deal. In fact, my sermon that I preached when I candidated here was from these verses. And I had been at my last place for 22 years, raised my kids there, and I planned to be there the rest of my life and, retire there and die there and all of that. And I had all my plans laid out and all of that, and all those kind of went to ashes and all of that. And I sensed, even maybe a couple years before God finally said go, that God had a different plan and that things were going to change. But I still remember the day in devotions when I was out in my office and God clearly spoke to me through the scripture and said, "Today, you are to start moving and preparing to go." And that was an incredibly, that was a hard time because I was just throwing out everything I'd planned on. And then there was quite a while there, a couple months, that I didn't have a clue if anybody was going to take me or there was anywhere to go. And I was starting to come up with alternate plans here and there and something else and places where I could go and move and whatever else. But it is in those tough times, and it is through going through that and coming out the other side and being here and watching God provide and watching God take care of things that I know that you can trust God in the dark times and in the times that hurt and all of that. And you develop that. And so sometimes when things aren't going very good, those are the times when we really need to trust God, because as we come out the other side, then we have really learned that we can put our trust in God. C.H. Spurgeon said, God is too good to be unkind to us. He is too wise to be confused. And if I cannot trace his hand and know what he's doing, I can always trust his heart. John Piper said, occasionally weep deeply over the life you hoped you would have. Grieve those losses, but then wash your face and trust God and embrace the life that you have. And I think those are really wise words from him, that sometimes we do need to grieve the things that we lose, that we can't get back, and all of those kind of things. Grieve that, grieve your losses, but then wash your face and embrace the life that God has for you right now. So trust in the Lord with all your heart, and then lean not on your own understanding. To lean on something is to trust it. I'm leaning on this because I trust that it can support me. It's not going to just topple over. It was built well. And when you and I lean on something, when we go up and lean on a wall, we don't expect the wall just to fall down. I don't expect when I lean on this that it's going to topple over. And so God is saying, lean not on your own understanding. There are some things in life that you trust to a certain degree, but you don't put your whole trust, you don't lean, put your whole weight on those things. If you're going to put your whole weight on something, you really trust it. You trust a chair to hold you up when you sit down on it. But God tells us to lean not on our own understanding. His ways are higher than ours. And sometimes we don't understand what God is doing, and we come up with alternate plans and all of that. And a lot of times our own understanding just doesn't work out very well. Abraham trusted his own understanding. And then he went and had a child by Sarah's maid, Hagar. And you know how that story went. It didn't go so well. We are not to put our trust in our own understanding. We are to put our trust in God's wisdom, in his word, in his Holy Spirit, in the godly conscience that he gave us. And that doesn't mean, you know, Proverbs has been teaching us all the way through the importance of wisdom and knowledge and common sense and all of those kind of things. That doesn't mean that we don't get those things and go chase after those things, but it does mean that we don't put our weight on our own understanding. We don't put our whole trust there. Our trust has to be in what God says. Trust in our possessions, trust in wealth, trust in worldly wisdom, trust in people or plans. All of those things, they fail us. Proverbs 11:28 says, whoever trusts in his riches will fail, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. Proverbs 18:10-11 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and they are safe. But the wealth of the rich is their fortified city, and they imagine it an unscalable wall. They think that because they're wealthy, nothing's going to attack them and they're safe. And it says, but that's just an imagination. A lot of the things that we lean on are just imaginary. And so God says, be careful of that. Proverbs 26:25-26, a greedy man stirs up dissension, but he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. He who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe. And then Proverbs 29:25 says, "Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." Trust is really about believing that there is a God who is infinitely wiser, more resourceful, and more capable than I and you will ever be. Trust just assumes that God is so much smarter, has so much more resources, and is so much more omnipotent that we can put our full trust in Him. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived, and he learned to trust the Lord and lean not on his own understanding. That his own understanding didn't always lead to direct and straight paths. And you know, Solomon every now and then got off the beaten path, and he learned over the course of his life that that didn't pay off very well. That the real advantage in life is to trust in the Lord. There's the old story back in the Model T Ford days. There was an old Model T Ford pulled off by the side of the road with its hood up, and a young man was trying desperately to get the car to run. And he'd been working at it for a long, long time without any success. And all of a sudden, this beautiful chauffeur-driven limousine stopped, pulled up behind, and this well-dressed man got out and just observed and watched the fellow working while he finally just suggested that he make a minor change, an adjustment in one part. The young man kind of looked at the well-dressed man and thought, well, this is crazy, but nothing else that he had tried had worked, so he thought, oh, I'll just do what he tells me to do. "Now," said the man, "your car will run. Go crank it up." And so the young man cranked it just once, and sure enough, the car took off running like it was brand new. The young man was just amazed that this man could know so much about cars. And so we asked him, "Well, how did you know exactly what to do with my Model T?" The other man said, "I am Henry Ford. I made that car. I know how it works." And God made each one of us, and He knows how we work, and He sees the end from the beginning, and He sees 10 years down the road that you and I can't see. He sees 100 years down the road that you and I can't see, and He sees 1,000 years down the road that you and I can't see, and He knows how things work. And we are not to lean on our own understanding. We are to lean on God. And then Solomon says, thirdly, acknowledge God in all your ways, and He will make your path straight. Now, to acknowledge means a lot more than it does in our culture, again, just kind of like heart. To acknowledge someone, I might be talking to someone and see someone else, and I might just, you know, go like this or just do something with my eyes to let them know that I see them, even though I'm engaged in this conversation. Or we might meet each other driving on the street and I might just wave at you. I'm acknowledging your presence. That's kind of how we understand this word acknowledge, but biblically it means a whole lot more than that. It means to submit to. It means to come under and to have your life really impacted. The NIV uses the word, in all your ways submit to God. The New Living Translation says, seek His will in place of acknowledge. But it is to live under the authority of God in all of our ways. If we trust in God, why wouldn't we live in the way that God wants us to live? It is about lordship, it's about obedience, and it's about submission to God. And that's something that we see that Christians, especially in our culture, a lot of us claim to be Christians, but we're not very good at submitting to Christ in our culture. We want things our way. And Solomon says, no, we need to be people who trust in the Lord and lean on Him and acknowledge Him in the way that we live our lives completely. Sometimes God asks us to do some very difficult things. Sometimes God puts us through very difficult circumstances, and sometimes God simply is disciplining us because he loves us. Warren Wiersbe, who is my favorite Bible commentator, says, "Trust God to hurt us without harming us when he's disciplining us." That's good advice for parents, by the way, too. That we sometimes hurt our children without harming them. We never want to harm them, but we want to hurt them enough in discipline so it changes their lives and their behavior. And Warren Wiersbe says, we need to trust God enough that he can hurt us sometimes in life to discipline us and know that he's not going to hurt us or harm us in the process. Now you think of Joseph in the Old Testament. Here's a young man with a great dream and a vision, a dream from God actually. And the dream years later would come true, but he didn't know that. It sure didn't look like it was going to come true. And that dream came to ashes and it just stayed there. He would rise up and, you know, his brothers sold him into slavery. And then he rose up there and then he was put in prison for something he didn't do. And so he just went from one thing to another. And again, a calamity would come. And it appeared that Joseph had no reason to think that anything would straighten out his path, that God was in charge of anything in his life. It seemed like the whole thing was just a mess. And yet, day after day, Joseph chose to acknowledge and to submit to God in all of his ways. He exercised character and discernment, and he was just the model citizen, whether he was in prison or in the palace. Whatever he was doing, he chose to acknowledge God, and in the end, God made his way straight. Now, there were many times in Joseph's life when he must have thought that God wasn't even directing his path, that God had left him. But the path he was on was indeed the path that God needed for him to be on to accomplish God's purpose in his life. Moses was another one who had a purpose to deliver the Israelites from the Egyptians, but he took matters into his own hands. He leaned on his own understanding one time, and he slew an Egyptian. And then he spent the next 40 years in the wilderness. And God waited until Moses was at the age of 80 years old. Can you imagine that? God waiting till Moses was 80 to start him doing his life's work when he was 80 years old. And at that age, God made his path straight. One might have thought that it would result in Moses leading the Israelites right out of Egypt and through the Red Sea and right into the Promised Land, but no, not even that worked out. Moses led the Israelites in circles in the wilderness for 40 years because of their own distrust of God. He didn't even get to lead them into the Promised Land. He got to climb the mountain and look out and see it, but that was it. And yet God used Moses to deliver the Israelites from Egyptian slavery. What I want to say from that is in those two examples, trusting God is a long process. Trusting God is not an event. You can't just trust God today. Trusting God is something that we do over the course of some times when it doesn't look like it makes any sense at all. And you do it day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. That's the example that the scriptures provide for us. Trusting God is a lifelong journey. It's not an event. We see that in both of their lives. Romans chapter 8 verse 28 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." When we trust God, when we acknowledge him in all of our ways, then God works out his purposes and directs and he straightens out our path, even when you and I can't see the end of the tunnel. There's a train track not too far away, about a 45 minutes drive from where I lived in North Dakota, that went through a mountain. And we loved to take school trips there and walk that track. And you'd get about halfway through that mountain and it was black. You couldn't see behind you and you couldn't see in front. It was just pitch black. And then you'd keep walking because it curved through the mountain. And then you'd walk far enough and you'd see the light at the end of the tunnel. But there's a long period in there where you were just walking in pure darkness through that tunnel. And sometimes you and I are going through a tunnel like that and it gets very dark in the middle. Those are the times when you and I need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and acknowledge Him in all of our ways. To trust in the Lord with all of your heart, we have to first believe that He exists, that He is good, that He will never fail us, and third, that He is going to reward us in the end. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek after Him." I want to remind you today, the best thing you can do with your life is trust it to God and trust God and see what He does with your life. Trust Him. Let's pray. Father God, we come before You today and we just thank You that You, the sovereign God of the universe, the God who holds the stars and the moons and everything in place, is our God. The God who wired us and designed us and formed us in our mother's womb is our God. And the God who is and has always been and will always be is our God. The God who is omnipotent and all-powerful and all-knowing is our God. And we, as Your people, want to just ask You this morning that You would help us to lean on You and to trust You and to grow in our trust in You through whatever we're going through, whether good times or bad times or discipline or whatever it might be, Father. I pray, Lord, that You would teach us to trust in You. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.